It's time for the Cobos Insurance Center High School Wrestling Recap, presented by Century 21 Deanna Realty. Every week, WEUL's Tim Alcorn and the Chronicle Telegram's Sean Bennett talk wrestling. It's brought to you by Cobos Insurance Center, your Grange independent agent, and by Century 21 Deanna Realty. We'll recap the high school wrestling coming up on WEOL.
Good Thursday evening, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the WEOL Wrestling Recap, brought to you by the Cobos Insurance Center and Century 21 Deanna Realty. Tim Alcorn from AM 930 WEOL, Sean Bennett from the Chronicle Telegram. Each and every Thursday night at this time, we get together. We talk high school wrestling in the Lorain County and Northeast Ohio area. As always, great to have you with us on AM 930, of course, on the mobile app. Maybe you're listening online on the website, WEOL.com. No matter how you've dialed us in tonight, we do appreciate it. We've got a lot to talk about. Sean, as always, good to be with you. And as I just said, there's plenty on the table here this evening as far as the wrestling recap is concerned.
Yeah, as I've covered the wrestling, high school wrestling seasons over the years, I've kind of broken it into segments, and we're kind of in between. You get that, it's almost like a roller coaster. You know, you got that big first hill, which is the opening weekend. You got right now we're kind of like in like kind of maybe a corkscrew, popping into the holiday season coming up here in a few weeks. So this is that kind of in between the start of the season, the holiday tournaments are about to begin, but there are some great tournaments that go in between those.
And we're coming off of what was a pretty busy weekend last weekend.
Yeah, it seems like every weekend anymore. It used to be to the points where it seemed like every few weeks there was a lull, but not anymore. It seems like there's a lot of teams competing in a lot of tournaments anymore. It's pretty impressive to see these guys going out there and getting it done.
All right, so we've got a lot to talk about here in the next 15, 20 minutes or so. Got a special guest coming up a little bit later on. We're going to talk a little North Ridgeville Ranger wrestling, so all that and more. Stay with us. Great to have you with us on a Thursday night. If it's Thursday, that means it's the Wrestling Recap, brought to you by the Cobos Insurance Center and Century 21, Deanna Realty. Tim Alcorn with AM 930, Sean Bennett with the CT. We're glad you've dialed in on AM 930 WEOL. On your phone with the app, Sean, we're online
at WEOL.com.
And we welcome you back, WEOL, your home of the weekly wrestling recap. Each and every Thursday, we bring you news from the mats. Tim Alcorn with AM 930 WEOL, and of course, the guy that covers all the news on the mats for the Chronicle Telegram, Sean Bennett, my co-host. Sean does a great job on that wrestling beat for the CT, and we love to talk about it on the radio as well as our weekly video. So we've got wrestling covered here in Lorain County and Northeast Ohio. And I know the wrestling coaches, the wrestling fans love it, so glad to bring it to you. And of course, it's not possible without our sponsors. Great big thank you to everybody at the Cobos Insurance Center and Century 21, Deanna Realty. I know you love talking wrestling.
I do. I love talking wrestling. I love watching wrestling. It's become, during December and January and February and March, it becomes pretty much all-encompassing in my life.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what happened last week and last weekend as far as wrestling was concerned. As we said in our opening segment, Sean, it was a pretty busy weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the bigger tournaments just going down our list here is starting with the Frickers Duels. That's a pretty prestigious event. It's I've kind of told you over the years they have the different tournament styles, and the dual meet style is simply where you go in with your team and you have rounds, and your team faces other teams in a regular dual meet. Boom, 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 boom. Well, Avon had to in 2 days had five duels per day and end up finishing 7-3.
They lost. Not bad.
No. They lost their first two to Edison and Ashland. Then they rolled off seven straight, and then lost their last one to Richmond, Michigan. And you can see by the scores, I won't list them all for you now, but every score was relatively, I mean, really close, except for some of their wins were kind of blowouts. But their three losses, all within one match. What I mean by that is there's a 12-point swing within one individual weight class, because if somebody pins somebody, if that person would have happened to get pinned by the other opponent, that's a 12-point difference.
Gotcha.
So if you're within 12 points, that means one weight class could have made the difference in that match, and all three of their losses are like 4, 7, 9 points. So they were real tight. They could have easily gone 10-0 in this event.
Speaking of 10-0, several Avon wrestlers go 10-0. I mean, that's amazing. Cale Sexton at 106, Aaron Endresol at 170, Jordan Greer at 195, Jack Resch at 285, Tommy Sear went 8-2, but boy, guys that went 10-0 during that tournament for Avon.
And the amazing thing is, Cale Sexton, Jack Resch, and Jordan Greer are all still undefeated for the season. They're 3 weeks in and still haven't had a loss. Obviously, Jack didn't wrestle the first week in the Cobos Insurance Classic simply because he had played football. The week previous, but very impressive. And if you look, I also included their finishes with those, and you've got Aaron Endresol went 10-0 with 7 pins, 2 major decisions, and a forfeit. Jordan Greer, 9 pins and a forfeit. Jack Resch, 8 pins, and I believe I think those other two were decisions, but that's a lot of bonus points. I mean,
wow.
Jordan Greer with 9 pins and a forfeit, that's maximum points. That's 60 points for his team because he gets 6 points for all those finishes. So those are super impressive finishes for all three of those guys, and I think Greer and Resch, and I'm not sure Endresol and Sexton did, but Greer and Resch both beat state-ranked guys from Ohio and Michigan en route to their 10-0 performances.
Boy, to steal your phrase, that's super impressive.
That is super impressive.
It really is. Wow. 10-0. That's awesome. So hats off to Avon and those individual wrestlers. All right, over at Waterloo, the D3 Classic Gold, Wellington was there. Finished 18 out of 26. And first out of 38 with 6 players in the placers in the D3 Classic Silver at Waterloo.
Yeah, that's one of those where they do the pool play on Friday. That divides guys up into the gold bracket, which is like the championship bracket, and the silver bracket, which is the lower bracket.
Right.
And in the top bracket, there were 26 teams that finished with points. Mike Casella finished as the runner-up at 285 pounds, losing to a state-ranked opponent from Hawken. And on the silver, they actually won that bracket out of 38 scoring teams. Wellington finished number one with 6 placers, including a couple of finalists in freshman Jeremiah McKee and Derek Andelsek.
Very, very well done.
Yes.
Hudson Invitational over at Hudson. Avon Lake went there last weekend, 21 teams. Shoreman finished 11 out of 21, but they did have 4 placers.
Yeah, another two-day big field team, 21 teams, 2 finalists, and Alec Negron and John Perry both finished runner-up in their weight classes. Again, Avon Lake's just kind of been getting it done over the last couple of years, and another solid finish. I think they were missing a few players or wrestlers in their lineup, but still, you know, nice showing for such a big event.
At the Finley Wrestling Invitational over at Finley, Lorraine finished 10 out of 15, although the Titans did have 6 placers over at Finley last weekend.
And again, highlighted by sophomore Brandy Crawford, who last year really opened some eyes as a freshman, and this year he's just rolling, undefeated as a sophomore, won the 160-pound title at Finley, another, you know, sizable field, 15 teams there. So, you know, he definitely got the job done. A couple other finalists in Xavier Santiago, who was runner-up at 106, and Daniel Finley, who was runner-up at 145. So Lorraine is, you know, they lost, you know, a couple guys over the last couple years, a couple big name guys. So they didn't come in with a lot of big name guys, but some of these guys are making a name for themselves.
JB Firestone Invitational over at Black River. North Ridgeville fared very well. We'll hear from their coach, Josh Beamett, during our next segment. So we'll delve a little bit further into that as far as the Ranger wrestlers were concerned. But North Ridgeville did finish second out of 12 teams. Black River, Clearview, and Oberlin were there as well.
And that's nice because it's a big local event with a bunch of local teams, and everybody, you know, finished pretty well. They all had at least 3 placers minimum, which is really nice. Most of them had finalists. You had champions. Zach LaHood was a champion. Travis Owen was a runner-up for Black River. Robert Bouchonville was a runner-up for Oberlin. So there's guys getting onto the spotlight matches at the end and kind of showing their skills, I guess.
And again, we'll hear from North Ridgeville head coach Josh Beamett during our next segment. So we'll delve a little bit further into how the Rangers did at that JB Firestone Invitational. Over at Canfield, it was the Canfield Holiday Duels. Firelands went there, and obviously for the Falcons, kind of a tough showing.
Yeah, and the problem was I talked to Josh Walbaum, and he said they had a bunch of injuries. They also had some skin check issues. Some kids failed some skin check issues. Sometimes if you have a rash or you know, a cut or something like that, they just won't let you wrestle. So they had a very limited lineup. So they were he pretty much knew they were not going to win any duels going into it because they had so few guys. But they took on Weir from West Virginia, Erie Cathedral Prep, a real powerhouse from Pennsylvania, St. Edward, Canfield, Kenston. These are big name programs.
Wow.
So it wasn't like
talk about competition.
Yeah, it wasn't like they were losing to bums. and then along the way, obviously their star wrestler Peyton Bergdorf went 5-0. He's still undefeated at 120 pounds, which the last 2 years he wrestled 106. So he's jumped up a couple weight classes and seems to be holding his own there. And then they also had a couple guys with winning records in Corey Newark and Charlie Ott's.
And one more to tell you about as far as an invitational at the Rebel Invitational over on the east side over at Willoughby South. Keystone made that bus ride over there amongst nine teams. They finished third, and the Wildcats had seven placers.
Yeah, I mean, top three finish with seven placers is, you can't ask for much more than that. They had a couple champions in Ryan Healy, who won a 145-pound championship. And he went 5-0 with four pins and a major decision. That was his first. He's a sophomore. That was his first high school tournament championship. So a really nice deal for him. Nick Hickman won the 220-pound championship. And they also had three other finalists in Nick Barriswell at 132, Jose Morales at 182, and Luke Moore at 285. Again, you see those Keystones got a ton of, just like the Cobos Insurance Classic, they have a bunch of those heavyweights. So Luke Moore had to face Brandon Smith. They both finished in the top three is what I'm trying to say. So definitely a good run for those guys. Hickman, who won that other title I should mention also, went 5-0 with five pins. So again, Yeah, just a great performance by Keystone as a whole and by those individual wrestlers.
Well, a job very, very well done by Keystone. And Sean, to close out this segment, Elyria, as expected, pretty dominant in Greater Cleveland Conference action last week.
Right. They opened the season with two non-conference dual meet wins. Then they won two GCC wins against Medina and Euclid. Euclid was really impressive. They won 72-12 there. And the max points you can get in a tournament is like 84 points. So they really put the points up. So they're 4-0 overall, 2-0 in the GCC. They're rolling.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, that's our opening segment as we kind of take a look back to what was happening last weekend on the mats. We'll take a quick timeout when we come back. As we alluded to a couple of times, so we'll talk North Ridgeville wrestling as their head coach Josh Beeman will stop by and pay us a visit. We'll also look ahead to what's happening this weekend. So stay with us. It's our weekly wrestling recap each and every Thursday, brought to you by the Cobos Insurance Center and Century 21 Deanna Realty. Glad to bring it to you on WEOL, on your phone with the app. And Sean, we're online
at WEOL.com.
And we welcome you back. It's the WEOL Weekly Wrestling Recap. Each and every Thursday night, we bring you the recap on AM 930 WEOL on your phone with the mobile app, online at WEOL.com. Tim Elkhorn from AM 930. Sean Bennett from the Chronicle-Telegram. Love talking wrestling each and every Thursday right here on WEOL. We love talking to the coaches as well. Throughout the year, you'll hear from various coaches in the Lorain County area talking high school wrestling and about their respective programs. Tonight on the show, North Ridgeville wrestling coach Josh Beeman stops by to pay us a visit. We mentioned in our previous segment, North Ridgeville with a very nice showing last week in the JB Firestone Invitational. So we thought we'd have Josh on to talk a little bit about that and the Ranger program as a whole. Coach Beeman, as always, great to have you on the Wrestling Recap. We appreciate you stopping by.
Thanks for having me on.
We talked during our opening segment, but we said, well, we'll share a little bit more of that with the head coach of the Rangers, Coach Beeman, when he joins us. So take a moment or two and just talk about your team's terrific showing at that JB Firestone Invitational.
Well, it really does help being able to fill out, these weight classes and having kids that at each weight class that actually, they're competing. They're winning matches that they're supposed to win, and then sometimes, they're winning those matches that, maybe it might be a coin flip or, a toss-up here and there. And also, it's the big thing in tournaments, like it is in dual meets, is these kids are getting pinned, you know, when they're, you know, their opponents, you know, going towards their back, they're really catching them and they're really going after those pins. And, you know, that really helps as far as our team points go in these tournaments.
Coach, obviously, you know, North Ridgeville has really kind of opened some eyes over the first 3 weeks of the season. You know, three top four finishes. You guys win the tournament title in week two. I'm sure that's what you were kind of hoping for going into the season, but were you expecting, you know, this kind of start to the season?
To tell you the truth, no, I really didn't expect, you know, this kind of start. I was pleasantly surprised. I knew we kind of had it in us, you know, but as, you know, going through these, you know, the number of years that I've gone through it, that you never know how it's all going to come together as far as, you know, the team goes. You know, you always have those kids, you know, here and there that, you know, I knew Jacob would have a good year and Jared and you know, maybe Patrick. But, you know, as far as the team as a whole, you know, some of these kids coming in, they're, you know, sophomores who haven't wrestled since middle school, or, you know, a football player who's like, you know what, I just want to try wrestling out. He's a good athlete and don't know how he's going to pick it up. So, you know, like really, in order to do well at these tournaments, you really have to have, you know, top to bottom, all these kids, you know, working hard and buying in. And you know, really, it took until, you know, at least, you know, we started out at Avon Lake that I kind of realized that, you know, we could actually, you know, have some good showings at some of these tournaments.
I read Todd Shapiro's write-up in the Chronicle on the event. He kind of mentioned that you were missing some kids. You mentioned Patrick and Jared. What was it, injury? Was it illness? What was the situation that kind of kept you shorthanded there?
So Patrick and Jared was kind of like, you know, injuries. Jared was it was a minor one that happened in our dual meet against Homestead Falls. And that was more my decision. To just kind of leave him out there and make sure it wasn't a lingering problem throughout the year, you know, give him a little bit of a time off. And, you know, Jared wasn't too ecstatic about that. You know, a kid loves getting out on the mat wrestling, but, you know, he understood and he got it. Patrick it was more of a lingering issue over the last couple of weeks. He didn't wrestle at Medina Buckeye. He didn't wrestle in our duel against Homestead Falls, but, you know, he's feeling better now that we took, you know, gave him a little bit of time off. So, you know, hopefully they'll be back in our lineup and ready to roll, you know, coming up when we, in a couple weeks or so.
Again, we're talking with North Ridgeville wrestling coach Josh Beeman as he joins us tonight on the weekly wrestling recap right here on WEOL. Josh, I want to follow up on something you mentioned earlier when you said to Sean, perhaps the overall team success is somewhat surprising to you, but you've mentioned some individuals that are certainly off to great starts. How much does that fuel the other guys, though, when they see wrestlers having success and they see what they're accomplishing on the mats? How much does that then drive the other guys, which then leads to overall team success?
Oh, it definitely does. I mean, especially you got guys like Jacob Dunston and Jared Vinecourt who they're having success in the, you know, on the mat. They're starting with it in the wrestling room. They work their tails off in the wrestling room. But I think when you start having that success out on the mat, then it really, you know, kind of brings everything together where these kids, it kind of opens their eyes that, well, maybe if I, you know, that's the reason why they're having that kind of success is because, you know, they're practicing so hard. They're putting the time in. They're really paying attention to the little details. They're asking, you know, coaches questions about how can I get better with this or how can I get better with that. And, you know, when they start, you know, taking first place in some of these tournaments, then, you know, the kids really, they start buying in a lot more when, you know, trying to emulate some of the things they're doing in the practice room.
Of your seven placers, five of them were finalists in this event. Obviously, Matt Crosby, I talked to in the week one video. We kind of had a fun interview with him. He won a title at 120.
Yep.
Jacob Dunston, no surprise, winning a title at 132. Matt's younger brother, Michael Krazy, wins at 113. And then Zach Orsano at was runner-up at 106, and Alex Douglas runner-up at 170. Any of those finishes really kind of feel a little more special for you, as guys that kind of maybe went over what they maybe they thought they would do?
I would definitely say Alex Douglas at 170. Like Alex, him and his brother Chris are, you know, at 195. They're both sophomores. They wrestled in our middle school program. They only have started wrestling in seventh grade, so they had a couple years of wrestling under their belt. They didn't wrestle last year as freshmen. They decided to, you know, come back, and you know, when that happens, and you know, kids off the mat for an entire year, you never know really what you're going to get. But you know, he definitely has put the time and the work in, and he's really, you know, he's picking it up really quick, and you know, he's winning some matches. You know, he got a pin for us against Homestead Falls in the dual meet, and you know, he, you know, really pretty much, you know, went through everybody at the tournament. He ran the tough kid from Lakewood, but you know, he really, I think, has been stepping it up all year for us.
Coach, we appreciate you coming on our weekly wrestling recap tonight. Again, as we alluded to earlier, not only individual successes, but team success at North Ridgeville. That's a credit to you and your staff. So hats off on the way things have gone so far, and hopefully it'll continue right into 2019. But we appreciate you spending a few moments with us tonight right here on WEOL.
Thanks for having me on, and thanks for what you guys are doing for wrestling.
Oh, thank you, and a very Merry Christmas to you and yours.
Thanks, Josh.
Thank you. You too.
That's Josh Beamitt, head wrestling coach over at North Ridgeville, as he joins us here on the Wrestling Recap. And, Sean, as we said, and as he talked about there, you get a few wrestlers that are having success, and all of a sudden that success kind of feeds on itself.
And it's good for a program like that, because North Ridgeville has struggled with success and with numbers. Like you said, he hasn't been able to fill out some of the weight classes over the recent years. It's been a while since they've sent somebody down to Columbus as a state qualifier. So this is what you need to do. You need to get that snowball going and let it grow. And hopefully by the end of the season, they'll have, you know, a handful of guys who have a real shot of getting down there for the state tournament.
That's awesome. It's great to hear about the success at North Ridgeville. All right, real quick, in our final minute or two here, what's coming up on the mats?
Yeah, only that I just talked about how there's always a bunch of events. Well, there's only a couple events coming up this week, and it's because the holidays start playing around with the schedule a little bit. But Lorraine and Illyria Catholic will be at the John Matucci Memorial Classic at East Lake North, which will run tomorrow night and Saturday. Illyria will be at the Beast of the East, which is at the University of Delaware. That's running Saturday and Sunday, which is a little different than kind of odd that they're running on that Saturday, Sunday. You don't see wrestling tournaments do that very often, but kind of cool. And obviously that's a pretty prestigious. I mean, that's right up there with the Walsh Jesuit Ironman as far as that goes. So this is their fourth year in that event. The first 2 years they had top 10 finishes. They finished 9 both of those years. Last year they kind of dipped down to 24. Now we're talking out of 121 teams.
I was just going to ask you, how many teams are there?
121 teams last year. They were 24, which they would still say that's not what they want, but they've had a placer every year. They had multiple placers, three in fact, the first 2 years. Dylan Shaver is looking to become the first Illyria wrestler to be a three-time placer. He placed as a freshman, placed last year as a sophomore. JT Brown also is a two-time placer, so he would become Illyria's first three-time placer being placed this year.
Wow, awesome. So again, Illyria at the Beast of the East, University of Delaware, and as Sean just said, Saturday and Sunday. All right, my friend, that's going to bring to a conclusion this week's edition of our weekly wrestling recap. A very Merry Christmas to you and yours as well.
Yeah, very Merry Christmas to everybody out there listening, and yep. Hopefully, like I said, you'll be able to, between the Christmas holiday, the New Year, you'll be able to get to some mats and see some wrestling. Hope I see you out there. I don't know if they'll unchain me from the sports desk, but I'm hoping to get out and see some wrestling.
All right, that's going to do it. Again, a great big thank you to North Ridgeville head coach Josh Beamitt for joining us this week on the weekly wrestling recap. Again, thanks to Sean Bennett. Thanks to our sponsors, the Cobos Insurance Center and Century 21 Deanna Realty. For Sean, I'm Tim Elkhorn. Thank you much for listening. Have a very Merry Christmas. And so long, everybody.